Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 144 of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast, an interview with our good friend, Will William Cumbie. He is an excellent youth pastor out of Houston, Texas. He speaks, he coaches, he writes, he trains. You may have seen his stuff this summer if you're a Grow Curriculum user. He is the creator of the August series that many of us have enjoyed. He also is doing some really amazing things in and around the city of Houston. I feel like to follow him on social media is just to see what kinds of cool and crazy things that he is involved in supporting and building and changing not just a community, but a city. And I love that about Will. Before we get into the episode, just want to make a couple announcements to you. One, if you have not checked out Youth Ministry Booster for a coaching network solution for you, affordable, helpful, and guiding care in youth ministry, then you've got to check it out this month. We're doing a special this month where you get a whole month free. There's resources to download. There's masterminds to sign up for. There's coaching calls that you can be a part of. There's care calls that we can get you involved in. We want you to check out the best kind of care and wisdom that you could have as a youth minister. And we want to give it to you for a month for free. You're a podcast listener. We want you to check it out for free. You can go to community.youthministrybooster.com and check that out. And if you aren't signed up yet, you need to be. For November, we're going to be at National Youth Workers Convention in St. Louis. The folks over at YS were kind enough for us to come back again and hang out, and it's going to be a big old party, a big old blast. That's where we met Will last year, and we're excited to catch up with him and you and so many others. So we look forward to seeing you this November in St. Louis. But until then, or the end of the episode, here is Will Cumbie. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another interview episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast. One of my favorite people. This is my life coach. This is the guy that I talk to. I send messages back and forth when I need the encouragement. And I think you're going to love his energy, his enthusiasm, and just like sheer commitment and energy around youth ministry and reaching the culture of young people. And so I want you to meet the good minister, my good friend, Will Cumbie. Will, how you doing, brother?
Hey, man, how you doing? Good. It's Will Cumbie here from the city of Houston.
Houston,
baby.
In the
country of Texas. You know, Texas is a country, if you didn't know, now you do.
Now you do.
Servant, youth pastor here at the Rock Youth Church of the Fountain of Praise.
I love it. I love it. Like, it's powerful. You feel something when you say it. And as an Oklahoma guy, to even have a friend in Houston, Texas, I mean, that speaks a lot to how much we like each other and get along. And I'm excited because for a lot of our friends, they're going to get to hear you here and then see you this November, because we met last year at Youth Specialties, and then we're going to be back again together at National Youth Workers Convention in November, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Crazy pumped to be down there. When I saw the advertisement, I was like, hey, I know that guy.
The face.
And, and my mom's really happy too.
I'm sure. Well, you know, it's something you can put on the fridge, right? You can print it off, put it on the fridge, and there it is, you know, the Will Cumbie. Well, Will, we had some questions I'm going to ask you today, and I just want some folks to hear your heart for youth ministry and what you're up to for stuff. But I mean, like any good superhero, we've got to know the origin story. So Will, maybe fill in some gaps for some folks serving in youth ministry now, speaking, coaching, doing all over the country. But what got you into youth ministry? That's always, anytime I meet somebody that's like great with words and super energetic, it seems like, man, you could have done a lot of things. Like, why in the world is this the thing that you're doing?
Well, listen, it actually is a crazy story. I went to school in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Oral Roberts University.
Yeah, you did.
And I was a theater major, right? And as fun as it was, I was like, man, I'm really not that good at this. And I met a professor there named Dr. Allen, who challenged me to get into writing. And I got into writing, and I loved writing, and I loved theater. And when I graduated, I was like, yo, I don't have a job. And I was volunteering at my church as a volunteer. And they were like, yo, we need a youth pastor. And I was like, all right, I'll do it for a little bit. But I mean, is that really a career?
Right, right.
And I absolutely fell in love with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with teenagers and with kids. And from there, I'll be honest with you guys, I did it for about 3 or 4 years and got burnt out. Mm. And was like, I'm done. I heard someone, according to the gospel of Maury Povich, you are not the father. Like, I was just doing everything. And I was like, yo, there is a father and he's in heaven and I'm doing way too much work. Mm. So I quit. And true story, I had a dream that I was at a concert And backstage, I met this guy. And when I went to shake his hand, it was Stevie Wonder. And I was like, oh, that's really crazy. How is Stevie Wonder in my dream?
Yeah.
Forward, I'm going to a concert with my fiance at the time. And it was a Stevie Wonder concert. And I meet a pastor. He's like, hey, I heard that you were a really good youth leader. And I was like, yeah. He's like, listen, I need you to meet with me next week. I met with him. And long story short, I got back into youth ministry again because I was like, God, that's way crazy.
Okay.
That I would meet this guy. And from there, it's just blossomed. And I am just so passionate about serving kids and sharing the gospel in any way possible. I'm in.
Mm. That's good. That's good. And again, hooked forever, right? That's one of the things that.
So it all worked out because with being having a communications background and a ministry background, it all blends into youth ministry because you've got to share the gospel in way creative ways. And the fact that I did theater makes it even cool, too, because I love to tell a great story. And there's no greater story
right
than that of
Jesus. I love it. And I love the crossover. And it comes out in the way that you share and you talk. But give us some favorite moments. You've been in youth ministry now for how many years? How many years you've been serving in youth ministry?
This is, I think, year 14 or 15 for me.
Okay.
And there's so many incredible moments. There was a moment when I do a devotional every Wednesday morning at one of the high schools here. And I was telling them how I had saved myself from marriage, that I would had gone all the way through elementary. Well, of course, I made it through elementary, junior high, and high school without having sex. And I was telling the story, and then this little kid came up to me, or his teenager, came up to me afterwards and was like, man, because of your story, I didn't give up my virginity at prom.
Mm.
And I was like, what? You were listening? Because you don't ever listen to those stories. But I'd probably say the best moment for me was just this last summer. I traveled to Colombia with five youth from my department, five teenagers. Mm. And I was out there preaching, and I'm going in, preaching hard. I got to the end of my message, and I said, and now if anyone needs prayer, I want you to come up. I'm going to have my leaders pray for you. Now, the assumption would be the adults would stand up and begin to pray for those who were coming to the altar. But it was not the adults. It was my teenagers who stepped up, and they began to pray. And not just, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Mm.
It was like, God, I'm believing that you're meeting them where they are. I mean, like, they were going in, and I was like, yo, this stuff works. And I'm like, my kids were in there praying and believing God for these kids. And that's what it is. It's that transferring of energy of my passion to their passion, and that's how the gospel continues.
Mm, that's good. That's good. And that's the thing that fuels the fire, right? That's one of the things that we hold on to, that it just, like, that is the thing that keeps us going. Well, Will, one of the things that we know is true is that for every good moment, there's probably at least two bad moments. And youth ministry. And again, there's a lot of things that, you know, youth pastors could be doing, but most of us keep coming back for more. But was there ever like a time that you were like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the last ride. Maybe we hang up our keys after this one. Cause I think for a lot of us, we've had moments, but I think even more than just a moment, there's been a day or a night where we're like, I think I'm going to quit. I think I'm done. But you didn't, but you almost did.
But you almost did. Wow. Let's see. You have lots of moments in ministry where you're like, but I think, golly, I have a lot of crazy stories. But one of those was when I was doing youth ministry and I was absolutely tired. I had worked, I'd done a devotional that morning at a school, a devotional that afternoon at a school. And that night I had to do another devotional in front of the kids. And when I devotion had Bible study then, and I went to teach it, and it just bombed. Like, nothing was landing. The kids weren't catching it. And I was like, okay, God, maybe this is it. I'm tired. Like, yeah. I've given everything that is of me into this, and maybe it's time for me to just do something else. And then I got I think it was a Facebook message from a kid who said, man, that reached me. I was like, oh, okay, I'll do another week.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And then another time, this was hilarious. I was teaching on a Sunday, and I'm thinking I'm killing it, right? Yeah. And then I hear this, what is that sound? And I'm looking around in the middle of my teaching, second row, there's a kid drinking a Monster energy drink. Not like a little cup of coffee, not
sipping,
like
into it. Yeah.
Of water. I mean, he's got like the big one and he opens it up and he's chugging that mug on the second row. And I'm like, am I that boring? He was like, nah, I'm just sleepy. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I need to up my game. But it really wasn't. So I have these moments which aren't big, but I like to tell people, it's a moment, not a lifetime, and don't let a moment overshadow the bigger picture, you know? And so I have moments where I get distracted and dissuaded and discouraged, but then I have to tell myself, remember why you started. Because there's going to be a lot of moments that make you want to stop, but pause. Yeah. But don't quit.
Is that the thing that brings you back? Is the beginning of why you started, why you were called? Like that's the thing that calls you back from the edge of wanting to quit.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's those moments when I feel like I don't have enough ideas, I don't have enough energy, I don't have. I look at some other youth pastors and other churches, and I'm like, I don't have that budget. Mm-hmm. I don't have that creativity, and man, I just kind of just dragging this horse along. Is it working? But then I believe that in our darkest moments, we can see the most light. And God will give me little glimmers of hope that'll say, hey, man, you know what? You're all right. Yeah. So like I didn't tell the story earlier, but I meant to. What got me into youth ministry, I actually had a job when I graduated from college. I was working at a rental car company. And can you believe it? I got fired. I got fired because I had to be at work too early in the morning.
Okay.
And I was like, Megan, good job. And God bless it, I started in youth ministry because we don't get to work till we get to work.
That's right.
Especially full-time youth ministry. I'm like, oh, I was with the kids this morning.
That's right. A lot of coffees.
Right. And it was that moment where God shows me every time when I get to that low point, he kicks in. It's like in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Mm. And so I have those moments, but he kicks in. Mm.
You teach, you share, you lead. After a big program, whether it's on a Sunday or a midweek, we talk about this as our after nine question of when everybody else is gone and you're out the door, where do you go? Mm-hmm. Do you get quiet? You go get a milkshake? You call the kids, call your mom? where do you go after that big expense of energy? Because when we get the program hour, the chapel, the gathering, it can take everything out of you. So where do you go to replenish? What do you do? Give us the self-care tips. Give us the insight, coach.
Well, so outside of me being a youth pastor, the other thing is I'm a certified personal trainer, right?
Yeah.
Which that came from being the chubby kid when I was younger and needing ways to have greater self-esteem. And I got into the gym, started working out, and then I was like, man, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
Let me turn to something. So one of the things that I do when I have those moments, those after nine moments, is I go to the gym. I have a gym membership, a 24-hour gym.
Okay.
I go in there, and it's biblical too. I put that weight on so I can get it right back off.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to pick those weights up, and I'm going to beat up on something that can't talk back. Mm. You know, I'm going to beat these weights up as long as I can. It might be doing some cardio, get on the treadmill, the elliptical, do some jump. But the whole time, while I am expending energy, I am intaking the word of God. So I'm listening to, it might be a gospel hip hop album. Mm-hmm. It might be some worship. Mm. So as I am depleting myself of everything that I have left in me, I'm allowing that energy to be fed back into me. That's like, you know, those songs of worship that remind you that, hey, you're good, that you're going to make it, that it's going to be okay. Because we get to that depleted place, we need to be filled back up again. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
So I have to find ways to be refilled. And if that's listening to a podcast while I'm working out or whatever, I have to eat or else the food that I serve is going to be pretty bad. The questions I do ask myself when I get like at the end of one of those events is, was it memorable? You know, did what I do leave an impact? You know, at the end of the day, man, promotion comes from God and not man. And we have to be mindful of the, you know, the rules of your where you work, but also understand that our competition is not the ministries in our community. It's apathy, because it's so much easier to get on the internet than it is to walk into church. Mm. And so we have to create an environment. I heard someone say, you have to be entertaining without being entertaining. Mm. Right? Your goal is to engage them, but not entertain them. Mm. So those are the things that I think about afterwards. It's like, did I give my all?
Yeah.
Did I leave it all on the table? And if I didn't, then okay, let's do it better next time.
Man, I love hearing that, because I think for a lot of folks, like they just want to like crash, right? Like after all the energy's gone, they just want to crash. But there is something to that, like physical expense alongside the relational expense, right? That like just total, because there's so much like emotional energy that goes into youth ministry, but there's not always a lot of physical energy. So putting that physical energy like into what you have left, and then allowing like your spirit to be fed, like alongside that, I think is that that's a good word. That's a good word. But I want to hear more about. Okay, so I love talking with you because you're an engaging guy. You're an entertaining guy to talk to. But the challenge of apathy, right? Like, so how do you instill that, right? Because you can't talk to every single student all the time. How do you in your ministry, like, how do you fight the apathy? Like that's the enemy. How do we fight it?
Apathy is such the enemy. Well, you know, my greatest thing is, in order for you to create change, there has to be something greater than what you're going through, right? So if say you want to lose weight, if your challenge to be better is greater than your challenge to be average, then you'll make the change. So what we do is to fight the apathy is we do things that are going to completely engage and encourage and just pull on every aspect of their senses. So if it's going to be videos, or if it's games, or if it's challenging message, or it's groups and things, like, I'm going to hit you from every angle possible, so that one kid that's like, yo, I don't like to talk, but I'll draw. Cool. We're going to pull that in and use it in some part of the message. I don't like sitting inside of this building. Cool. We're going to do a message outside. We did a message one time. One of our members of our church has a car dealership. I was like, bet. Bring your cars. Bring me a couple cars. So we talked about accepting the things we can change. Change the things we can, accept the things we cannot, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mm. So we brought in a car, and we taught them how to change the tire on a car. But we talked about how if you have something that goes wrong in your life, right, or you get a flat tire, you don't get rid of the car. Right. Or you don't change all four tires. Right. You fix the problem, and you get back on the road. And so we have to do things where you're engaging them in so many different ways that they're like, I don't know what we're going to do next. This is not normal, you know. And then bringing in different cultural things where you might be like, oh man, this isn't something that we would do in our culture. Exactly. And that's why I'm going to show it to you, so that you are just well versed in everything. Mm. And so that's what I do to fight apathy. Is we even did. During the time where they start doing the combine for the football.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought some cones out, and I was like, all right, we're going to do the combine out here. You guys against me, right? Of course, they totally kicked my butt because I'm like almost 40 years old. But
oh, man, you look good for an old guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
40 against 15 is kind of rough.
Oh, man, right?
But,
right.
You know, and it's just those things engage them in different and ways that directly deal with what they're doing on a regular basis. And is it work 100% of the time? No. But I go back to my remember thing is, before you quit, remember why you started.
Yeah.
You know, I want to engage them. I want to find ways to challenge them and get their attention.
Okay. Mr. Almost 40, if you had a time machine and you could go back to the very beginning, to the first years in youth ministry,
right?
What is something you'd go back and tell first years Will that only you could get through his head?
Being that I'm a guy that I love to write, I absolutely love to write. But when I first got started in youth ministry, I had this idea that I had to craft an original message every Sunday and Wednesday.
Okay.
And so I would burn myself out, staying up all night, like, you know, because I wanted to be original and it's something that no way had ever heard before.
Yeah.
And it was killing me, right? And then I was working with the men's group, and I was working with all these other ministries, and so if I was teaching four times in a week, it was four different messages that week. And I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so I think I would tell, first thing is, you don't have to do it all. Like I said, it's the gospel of Maury Povich. You are not the father. You can't do it all. And finding ways to bring in other resources. Probably the other thing I would tell me is it's worth it.
Okay.
It's worth it. Those moments when you're like, man, this ain't worth it. Mm. I want to tell, you know, 27-year-old William, it's worth it, because if I had quit then, I wouldn't be talking to Zach now. Mm. You know, if I had quit then, I wouldn't be teaching at YS now.
Yeah.
And just as there's so many gospel stories of people who had the opportunity to quit but kept going, if David had quit, if Moses had quit, if Abraham had quit, if Esther had quit, man, whose story would we be telling on Sunday? Man, if the woman with the alabaster box had quit before she broke it, would we be sharing her story, man? So I would tell myself it's worth it, because this, what, 14, 15 years later, I'm now like, wow, people are paying me to talk now. Where it used to be like, hey, man, we're going to give you lunch, and it's probably food that you don't eat. It's okay.
They'll all be eating. It's fine. Yeah, great.
But so I would say it's worth it, you know? Keep working, because it's worth it. And all the stories of what you went through will be the messages that someone will need. I put it this way. You survived so that someone else wouldn't die. Did I lose you?
No, that's just good. I'm just going to let that set for a second. Just going to let it set for a second.
Well, I mean, I think about the stuff that we survived, you know, in youth ministry, where it's like, it should have taken us out.
Yeah.
But we survived it, you know, maybe because the moment when I wanted to quit, because I felt like kids on the front row were bored by what I was saying, was so that I could tell the story to you right now, so that the people listening could hear it, to say, you know what? I've got kids who sit on the front row and drink coffee or whatever, and I'm like, you're totally tuned out.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
But I needed someone to tell me that.
Yeah.
And so I survived it, maybe so someone else wouldn't die from it.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. That's good.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. Well, give me, okay, so one more question for you to help close this out today. What is a practical tip, application, or process that's making your time at youth ministry better? What's something that you've read, downloaded, or are doing that makes youth ministry better for you?
Well, there's a lot of things that I've read. I'm an avid reader too. Outside of writing, I love to read. And so I would give one quick, easy tip is to read. But every youth pastor, every youth worker should be reading at least three types of things on a weekly basis. The first thing is something for personal growth. Mm. Maybe that is, or recreational reading.
Okay.
It could be, I just finished reading a book on Gucci Man.
Okay.
What does that have to do with youth ministry? Not too much, but I really loved his story because I like some of his songs.
Yeah.
And so it kind of took me to his life. And will I be able to use it? Maybe, you know, I might find a message in it later, but it was just for personal reading and it was a good story, right? I also love to work out, read things, different journals and publications on different exercises and ways to live healthy, right? So that's personal. The second thing I say everybody should be reading is something for spiritual growth, a devotional, maybe a podcast, listening to a podcast or something like that. You should be doing that every week. And then the third thing I would say is constantly be reading or looking at things to grow what you do from a business standpoint or a ministry standpoint. Mm. I constantly peruse the website or the interwebs, because everything on the internet is the truth, because no one lies on the internet. I constantly look for other youth ministries and what they're doing.
Yeah.
I want to see how's working for them. What are they doing differently? What new activities, what events are they doing? Mm. And although I may not have the same budget, I can take it and transpose it or make it work for my youth ministry. I saw a church do a thing where they took their kids camping on their church campus. Awesome. Loved it.
Like just right there.
We can't camp.
Okay.
What I can do is we have a huge assembly room. Cool. Let's bring tents, set them up in the assembly room.
Love it.
We can do fire on screen, and now we're having a camp out. It's safe. We have security and it's good. But you won't, if you're constantly just picking your own brain, you're always going to be right.
Mm.
You've got to start looking at what else is around in the community and look at that stuff. So the three things, my tip is personal reading, spiritual reading and then business reading. Mm-hmm. And if it's not even reading, at least do the podcast. I'm hooked on podcasts. On my way to work, I jam a couple of different podcasts, and because I like to eat.
Yeah.
I'd love to eat.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, if you don't eat, you die.
Will you give us some of the titles of like of the podcasts and the books that you read recently? Like what are some of the ones that you just finished or you're working on right now?
Well, there's a couple of them. I just finished Stephen Furtick's book on I Am,
okay,
something like that. Then I read T.D. Jakes' book called Soar.
Okay.
Sun Stand Still. It's another Stephen Furtick book that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm also reading the First Lady of our church wrote a book called Unthinkable.
Okay.
Super love that book as it gives me, I think that we have to be, I want to say bipartisan, but that's not the word.
Okay.
Understanding that you have to be able to speak to young men, but also speak to young women.
Okay.
Right. So you need to read things written from a female perspective.
Yeah.
Or else you're only going to get the male perspective. So you need to
that's
read.
It's only half the world. Right. Right.
Right. So then you're in there telling a story to your guys and your girls. You're like, man, so you know, in the locker room,
right,
when, you know, right, everybody walks in there and it smells like dirt and corn chips and, you know, the girls are like, what?
Yeah.
So you, in order to tell a good story, you need to read and listen to two different perspectives. Gotta plug the crew that I'm with today.
Oh, man, thanks.
I love what you all are doing because it's, to be honest, man, you have to, and you can't, and this is specifically for those who are in urban ministry who are like, man, I can't listen to them because they don't look like me. Nah, that's the wrong thing. Mm. You should listen to them because they don't look at you, because it's going to give you a different perspective. So I intentionally seek out ministries that don't look like mine, mm, that may be of a different ethnicity, mm, a different culture, different like people from Seattle, people from Canada, Tulsa. As much as Tulsa is not Houston,
it's different.
Right? It's different. So yeah, you have to look and read and listen and go, okay, I see what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is the vein of where youth ministry is. How can I make this relate to where I am in my community and my city? Even Elle and Kenny, and yeah, I love their stuff. You can use email that they send out.
Yeah.
Like there's some crazy games that they do, right? I'm like, some of those games are awesome. I can't do them in an African-American church, but I can tweak them. But I like to say, put a little Tony Sacheries on it, okay, to make it work. From where we are, but we can. There are some things that I love. We did the game with the marbles,
yeah,
in the pool.
Yeah,
totally worked out for our kids, man. We talked about when you can't see the goals that God has given you, will you still work for them?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think you have to constantly look at what everybody is doing. Make it work for you in your house.
Yeah. Will, thank you so much for sharing today, brother. If you got things online we want to get connected with, I know that you are an active social media presence, have a blog. What's the best way for folks to get connected with you outside of this conversation to ask you more questions and follow up and learn about what you're doing?
Okay. Man, greatest ways to get in contact with me, definitely on Instagram at WillC27. I wasn't one of those people who, like I said, I'm old. I didn't come up with a really creative name like everybody else, like, you know, Will something cool. No, yeah, it's just, yeah, Will C27 because my birthday is on the 27th and my last name starts with a C. So at Will C27. But I do have a website, and that one's kind of creative. It's Will C One Day.
Okay.
.com. Will, the letter C, the number one, day. .com or just williamcumby.com as well.
Okay.
And then on Facebook, William Cumby. And that's the best way to find me. I know I'll be doing some stuff with our urban youth workers coming up pretty soon, so you can find me on there as well.
Love it. Well, Will, thank you so much for sharing today, man, and we'll catch up with you soon. All right, there you go. That's the interview with Will Cumby. Make sure to check out the links below to catch up with Will and the things that he's got going on, either with Urban Youth Workers Institute or YS in St. Louis this November. If you hadn't had a chance to subscribe, rate, and review, we would love to hear from you. So if you like what you heard today and want to check out more, there's 143 other episodes to listen to. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a a starred review, Chad will tell you that watch out. Sometimes it's easy to leave a one-star review because apparently on the native iPhone app, the left thumb of your hand is right over the hovering one star. And he actually one-starred us this week. So thanks, Chad, for doing that. But not you. You leave whatever stars you want and a fun review. We'd love to hear from you all. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you are feeling encouraged in ministry. Know that there is care out there and that Youth Ministry Booster is your biggest fan. Talk to you again next week.
I'm going to turn your world upside down. And I'm going to show you things you've never seen.